Let's come to God's word this morning. Last week we looked at the story of Jonah. Okay, we saw the amazing story of Jonah, of how God spoke to this prophet and instructed him. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 1. And God called out Jonah and told him to go to the city of Nineveh, which is in present-day Iraq, and warn the city that if it did not repent of its wickedness, that city would be destroyed. Yeah? Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. Now, just to put things in context, the Assyrians, where Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, were the enemies of Israel. Okay, they were a wicked and a cruel nation. They would conquer countries, but it was not just conquer them, they would destroy and plunder their enemies. They would kill them, they would impale them, and thousands would be killed like that. So they boasted about their cruelty. And Jonah, you know, and Israel was on their radar, and Jonah was instructed by God to go to them and tell them to repent. Jonah didn't want that to happen. He wanted to see the destruction of these wicked, wicked people. And so he ran away from the Lord. And we know what happens next. So he takes a ship and he goes off in a totally opposite direction. Okay? God called him to go to Nineveh. He goes towards Tarshish, towards the west. And he finds a ship. He goes onto that ship and we see what happens. As you're sailing in the ship, there's a huge storm. And these seasoned sailors are so afraid, and they say, what's happening? They start throwing the cargo overboard to lighten the ship, but nothing happens. And then they find Jonah sleeping below deck. And they wake him up, and they say, come on, pray to your God that we would be saved. And they cast lots, and the lot falls on Jonah. And they realize that it's because of Jonah that this supernatural storm is taking place. And they say, what shall we do? And Jonah says, throw me into the sea. And the moment they do that, the storm calms down. All right? And these soldiers who were praying to different gods realized that the God of Jonah was the true God who created the earth and the skies and the sea. And immediately they make sacrifices and vows to the true God. They become believers. So even in Jonah's disobedience, God used his life to bring salvation to the lost. And that's where we left the story last week. And then in verse 17, we see what happens of Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. He says, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, this is an amazing truth. Okay, that Jonah was thrown into the sea. And in chapter 2, it tells us how he was nearly going to drown, almost drown, but at that time he cried out to God and said, Lord, have mercy. God provides a fish, and for 3 days and three nights, he's in the belly of that fish. And this morning, we're going to look at chapter 3. And at the end of chapter 2, verse 10, okay, we see the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So it begins, the end of chapter 1 begins with Jonah into the sea and God provided a fish. Wonderful miracle. Okay? End of chapter 2, and God spoke to the fish and Jonah was directed and he traveled not by air, not by sea, but by fish. And he ended up where he needed to go. Okay? And then we look at what happens after that. Shall we pray this morning? Come. Lord, we thank you that you are the sovereign ruler of the universe, Lord. You are the creator of all things. Lord, the sun, the moon, the stars, the seas, the fish were all created by you. And not only created, Lord, you sustain and control all things. We praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay. So here we are. So Jonah gets a second chance. Okay, he had disobeyed God. He had run away from God. And But God gave him a second chance. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God of second chances? Amen. So we may mess up, we may sin, we may disobey God. And sin can take different forms. It can be running away from God, okay? Or it can be staying where we are and not doing what God wants us to do. Okay, it's differently. But here we see the mercy and the goodness of God. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message I tell you." Okay? So, God used the wind, the waves, the storm, the fish, things that seemed bad in Jonah's life, but he used them to bring him onto the right track. Isn't that good? You know? Because it's like us with our children. Okay? We discipline those we love. Why? Because we want them to come onto the right track. And in this sense as well, God used these things to bring Jonah back into his purposes. Okay. So, the message is the same. Go to Nineveh. And Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. You know, four times in the book of Jonah, the word of God says that Nineveh was a great city, was a big city. So it was one of the biggest cities in the ancient world at that time, a big city. Okay, and here again it says, now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Wow. They say it had huge walls around it, and three chariots could ride across the breadth of the wall. So it was a huge, powerful, mighty city. And Jonah went into the city, verse 4, and he called out. He said, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. Wow. In the original, it's 5 words. That was his message. Now we see here that although he obeyed, you know, he just went out and he just said this. 40 days more and the city will be destroyed. Can you imagine going to a place like North Korea today? Anybody wants to go? Okay, North Korea is threatening the world with thermonuclear devices. Okay, the president, Mr. Kim, you know, has been known to be a cruel and a wicked guy, executing his opponents. Even his own uncle and others had his stepbrother killed, and wickedness, really. Imagine going to North Korea and proclaiming this message. Okay, 40 days now and the city will be overturned. Okay, so we've got to hear the word of God to do that. Anyway, so what we see, number one, is we see the exceeding sinfulness of man around us. We've looked at Nineveh, okay? We'll look again at another example in a little while. But if you look at the world today, I was reading on the news about the hurricane sweeping through the Caribbean and going through the islands of St. Martin's in Cuba and all that. And we got a message from one of our friends in Bombay who got a message from somebody in the St. Martin's Island saying that the hurricane has come through and has devastated the place, flooding and everything has happened. Everything has broken down. And you know what's happening next? People are looting. Okay? They're going into shops, going into houses and looting. Okay, so in the midst of death and destruction, the sinfulness of man comes out once again. Okay? You know, can you imagine if something like that happened to Pune? You had to leave the house and move, go to Goa or something else within 24 hours, you know? And you find out that as you come back, a few days later, shops have been vandalized. Houses have been looted. Okay? So really, we're seeing the sinfulness of man is exceedingly great. And so that's one, the first thing I'd like to look at. So Nineveh was evil. There's evil in our world today. We don't have to look very far. You know, I was saddened at the news 2 days ago about a 7-year-old boy whose throat was slit in a school toilet in Delhi. Okay? That's the Ryan School. But just for you to know that, you know, the owners of the Ryan School are people we know. They are believers. They are Christians. You know, and to face this kind of thing is horrible. So really, there is evil all around in the world. Okay? But also, for us to pause for a minute and look at our own hearts this morning. Okay? Is there sinfulness there? Yeah? Is there some area where there are things we are supposed to do, we're not doing, or things we are not supposed to do, we are doing? Yeah? And this is a reminder that till the day we die, there is sin in the world, there's sin in our lives. For believers, we know Jesus has paid for the sin, hallelujah. You know, but he doesn't leave us there. He wants to see us transformed from one degree of glory to the other. So there's something to be done. Secondly, we want to look at the mercy of God. Okay, we see in the midst of all this wickedness, we see the mercy of God and see what happens. So Jonah preaches, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overturned. And we see even in that declaration of judgment, we see the mercy of God. God is giving them a chance to repent. Okay, and 2 Peter 3:9 says this, that God is not willing for anyone to perish. Okay, he wants people to come to repentance. And what happens? So, verse 5 says, and the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. This is amazing. This is amazing. Okay, here's Jonah, the reluctant prophet. He goes into Nineveh. He preaches his message reluctantly. And the amazing thing is, people respond to the message. Hallelujah. You know, imagine going to North Korea, preaching this message, and the people respond. And not only the people, but look at verse 6. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh. And, you know, he calls for a nationwide repentance. So it was not just the people, but everybody right up to the king repented. That was a powerful word from God, isn't it? And really what we've got to see is that it's the mercy of God that causes repentance. What is, and so repentance is just a change in mind, change in action. And we're going to look at a story this morning, from the another story from the Old Testament, of the wickedest, vilest man who ever lived, and how God dealt with him. You know who that person is? Ahab. Let's just quickly turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. All right. In verse 20, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25. There was, look at 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25. There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by his wife Jezebel. All right? So the Bible says the strongest man who ever lived was? Strongest man? Samson. Wisest man? Solomon. Most wicked man? Ahab. That's who he was. There was never somebody like that. He was so wicked. And you think, okay, God would punish him. Okay? But see what happens. Okay? In go back a few verses. In verse 20, Elijah comes to Ahab. And Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? And Elijah answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up and will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. And on and on and on it goes. The judgment of God upon Ahab, because he was a wicked and evil man. Okay. What happens in verse 27? And when Ahab heard those words, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth on his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. Okay? Ahab the most evil man who ever lived on the earth heard the word of God and he repented. He humbled himself. He went on and he put on sackcloth and he fasted. Verse 29. This is what the Lord says. Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days, I will bring the disaster upon his house. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So we look at the mercy and the grace of God when there is repentance and humility. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 tells us, Moses talks about God. He says, the gracious, Exodus 34, verse 6. Moses, seeing God, says this. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast loves for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sins. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. All right? So we see that man is sinful, but God, the God that we worship, is so merciful. The wickedest man on earth, he turned away his anger from him because he humbled himself and repented. The people of Nineveh, who were wicked people, repented and he relented and did not bring punishment upon them. Okay? And so, this morning I want to say that God responds to humility. He responds to repentance. He changed his mind in Ahab's case. He changed his mind in Nineveh's case. And this morning, you know, if we need to see our nation changed, you know, it breaks God's heart to see the sinfulness in the world. Okay? And there's a place where we need to go before God and we need to humble ourselves. And we say, Lord, would you have mercy on our nation? Okay, would you have mercy on our city? Would you have mercy, you know, and personal repentance as well. And that's what I'd like us to look at this morning. And to say, Lord, you know, we see that you've done this in Assyria. You had mercy on that evil nation. We see you had mercy on Ahab. Now, what about mercy on our nation of India? You know, you see, our nation is in such spiritual darkness. Last month or week in Nasik, 57 infants died in hospitals. Okay, 57 infants died. Why? I dug into the article. They said, you know, when children give birth, there are some infants who need medical care. They need a ventilator and so forth. And in the public hospitals, I think there was only one ventilator available. Okay, we heard about UP in Gorakhpur, where every month 40, 50 children are dying. Okay, now you see the darkness in our land. We want to spend crores, thousands of crores, building memorials to people of the past, but we won't invest in buying oxygen for infants who are in need and who are dying. Okay, the darkness in our land will, you know, we can look after cows and have old-aged homes for them, but we won't look after people dying on the streets. Okay? And we've got to say, Lord, we've got to value human life. Okay, human life in the image of God. And really, we need to say, Lord, would you have mercy on our nation? Okay, we need to stand in the gap and repent as the Ninevites did and say, Lord, would you have mercy on our nation? Lord, don't judge our nation. Okay, Lord, have mercy. Okay? And so I want us to pray for our nation of India, keeping in mind the sinfulness of man, Okay, we just need to just look at the newspapers every day to see the growing sinfulness of man. Okay? We need to but remind ourselves of the mercy of God, that our God does not want to judge. He came down to redeem, to set people free. I mean, he's a merciful God. But the third key component is repentance. Okay? We are here this morning because of the grace of God. I mean, to pray for the rest of our fellow Indians and people across the world and say, Lord, would you open eyes of people, Lord, that they would turn away from evil and turn to the living God, true repentance. And of course, personal repentance as well. Okay, where we look at our own lives and say, Lord, where am I lacking, Lord? Help me to turn away from sin, to do what is right. Okay, and then we'll see the power of God and the grace of God that'll come. How do we repent? Okay, repentance one is a change of mind. Okay, it's like, you know, any of you use the GPS when traveling from one place to another? Okay, and sometimes you may miss the turn. Okay, and the GPS, that lady will tell you, take a U-turn, take a U-turn. You know that? And that is repentance, where we've gone in the wrong direction and we have to turn around. So one is it's a change in mind. Say, Lord, you know, like the Ninevites repented. They said, we've been doing this evil, we are wrong, we should stop it. Okay, that's a change in mind. Second, it's a change in action. It's not just realizing we've been doing something wrong, but to say, Lord, I will stop that action. That's it. Or if we've not been doing what is right, say, Lord, I will start doing it. So change in action. Okay. And the third part of repentance is a humbling of self. Okay. We see that in both the situations, in Nineveh as well as Ahab, they did something. They fasted, they put on sackcloth, and they prayed. Three things that they did. And we see, you know, we want to ask a question. How do we get the ear of God? How do we get God to respond? Well, in these two cases, we see what happened. They fasted, they prayed, and they humbled themselves. You know, in both these cases, Ahab and Nineveh, they put on sackcloth. You know what sackcloth is? What is that? Gunny bags. Imagine, you know, tomorrow you go to work wearing gunny bags. Wow, you may start a new fashion trend. Okay? And they did that. Okay, now please, you don't need to do that. The Lord tells you to do it. But what it's really showing is the heart of it, where we're saying, Lord, I'm humbling myself. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, Jesus shows us some things. Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father in secret will reward you. Okay, in the New Testament, God says, hey, don't make a show of that you're repenting. Okay, when you're fasting, don't look so sad and so miserable that everybody comes to you and says, what's the matter? Oh, I'm fasting today. You know, they said, listen, wash your face, put oil on your head, look bright. Nobody knows you're fasting. They'll look at you and they're looking even more joyful than usual. And he says, and the Father who sees what you've done in secret will reward you. And he talks about prayer the same way in verse 5. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites standing in the synagogues or on the street corners and telling everybody, I'm praying now. You know, and I say, listen, go into your room in secret and pray, and the Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. Okay? And so, fasting, praying, these are all ways we can humble ourselves. And so the message for us this morning is, let's be a people who are crying for our nation. Okay? And we're saying, Lord, we're going to fast. We're going to pray. And we want to see the mercy of God. God is merciful. The mercy of God, and not the judgment of God, come upon the nation. We want to fast and pray to see breakthroughs in the lives of people. Poor Ralphie has been with this fever. Okay, the good news is we just got a message this morning. For the last 7 hours, he's not had the fever. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Thank you all for those who've prayed. Okay, but there are many other needs that are there. And I tell you, it's as we fast and as we pray, as we seek and we ask, as we humble ourselves and we repent, there will be a breakthrough. Would you like to see a breakthrough? Yeah, in your life, in the lives of others, in the lives of our nation. Okay, we want to see a breakthrough. Do you know, India has 1 million people joining the workforce every month. Put it through your mind. 1 million people. They're looking for jobs. Okay, we are a bomb waiting to explode. Okay, that's 10 million people, 12 million people every year. You know, if the economy does not pick up and the government does not do something, okay, there could be anarchy. Okay, that's what can happen. And we need to say, Lord, we're praying for our government, that they would do what is good and right and work for the good of all people. Okay? So, this morning, let's remember, okay? There is sinfulness, but there's the mercy of God. And it's as people repent, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I heal their land. Amen. Shall we stand this morning?